Hi, my name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and this is the second in a series of podcasts on cost reduction and cost control in the public sector. And in this podcast, I'm going to look at traditional cost control. And traditional cost control is usually carried out via the use of the budget. So I'm going to look at various budgeting techniques to help control cost. I'm going to start off by looking at our traditional method of controlling costs within an organisation, within your organisation. We go through a process of creating the budget, first of all, and the creation of the budget is a huge task in any organisation. And the bigger the organisation, the more difficult it is to coordinate so that different parts of the budget make sense when compared to other parts of the budget, so that the budget for staff cost rises as the level of services rises and vice versa. It's very difficult to coordinate that in larger organisations, which parts of the public sector, most of the public sector indeed, will count as larger organisations. So the process we go through, we create that budget. We compare that budget to our actual results, usually on a monthly basis. Yep. Compare actual to budget. And then we look at the variance. And in practice, our variance analysis tends to be very simplistic. It tends to be actual to budget, and the difference is the variance. And if the variance is that we've overspent, then we tend to investigate it and find out why it's happened, get an explanation, and then put it to bed and move on to next month. Because by the time we've been through that process, we're probably well into the new month and into thinking about getting the management accounts out for the following month. So that whole process does tend to be, like the creation of the budget itself in the first instance, it tends to be a case of getting the job done rather than actually taking a step back and thinking, well, why are these variances arising? What's the root cause of them? And when we're working in times of cost restraint, that's where the benefit is for the organisation, is to find out why these problems have arisen and then take proper control action. Is it, for example, an overspend that we can't control? Something as simple as the minimum wage rises, and so there's nothing we can do about it. Apart from maybe we could have budgeted better in the first instance, maybe we should have predicted this. But there's nothing that the manager can do about it. There's nothing that the manager can do if that cost has gone up. Some of the problems that we'll find, some of the variances will be due to bad budgeting, and some of them will be due to bad execution. And it's those that are due to bad execution that we can take control action in the short run on. Those that are due to bad budgeting, well, we'll have to roll that forward into next year's budgeting process. Now, there are lots of different approaches to budgeting. So I'm going to look at a number of different approaches to budgeting and talk about their advantages and disadvantages and how they can be used in the public sector. So I'm going to start with the traditional periodic budget. A periodic budget is where a budget is prepared annually. So we prepare one annual budget that starts on the 1st of April and ends on the 31st of March in the following year. And the, I suppose, traditional way of using that type of budget for cost control is to look at the budget for the year before the year actually goes live and to focus on the big costs. So in the public sector, most of our services are delivered by people. So the big costs will be people costs, salaries, wages. And what we then tend to do traditionally is to say, right, okay, we'll cut that cost. So the classic type of cost reduction is to say, okay, let's reduce headcount. We've got 50 heads in that department. Let's take it down by 10% to 45 heads. That'll reduce costs. That'll save 10% of our costs. Fantastic idea. Now, that can work very well. It certainly will have a short-term impact. But I suppose what the modern management accountant needs to think about there is, what's the impact of that? What's the knock-on effect of that? If we're simply reducing headcount in the short run and in the sort of medium to longer term, that's simply going to mean that we take on more agency staff, more freelance workers, then that could actually build costs within that department. And of course, the other thing, apart from cutting headcount, is that we might decide to cut a service. So let's take a whole service away. Let's no longer provide a particular service to the public. And again, that can be a good idea, particularly in the short run. And I suppose what the management accountant has to do is take a hard-headed look at what the longer term and impacts of that service being cut might be. If there's a particular service that's provided within a local authority, perhaps a recreational service for youths, if we cut that service, will that have an impact, for example, on the crime rate? Now, we, in running the local authority, may not have responsibility in our particular department for the policing budget. Those are things that need to be considered. That's the periodic budget. Periodic budgets, we tend, just to recap, to say, okay, let's just cut a chunk out. That's how we're going to control costs using our periodic budget. Another idea with budgets is to use a rolling budget. Rolling budgets are very, very rarely used in practice in either the public or private sector. And a rolling budget is where, instead of simply having a fixed 12-month period where we start on the 1st of April and end on the following 31st of March, what happens is, when, say, we get to the end of April, so we're at the 30th of April, we would, in a traditional budgeting scenario, have just 11 months of budget left to look at. Well, when we're using the rolling budget approach, what we do is we add on an extra month at the end. So let's say we were at the 30th of April 2011. What we would do is we would add an extra month's budget for the month to the 30th of April 2012. So with a rolling budget, we've always got 12 months worth of budget to look at. Now, why might that help us to control costs in the public sector? Well, what that allows us to do is it allows us to look beyond this traditional period, which gets shorter and shorter as we move towards the year end. And it allows us to consider the longer term impacts of our actions. So it allows us to keep a closer eye on costs perhaps that are going to get out of control in 12 months' time. It's not something, as I said earlier, that is very commonly used. And I think the reason for that is that we actually like the idea of having, if you like, a countdown towards the year end, having this fixed target, this 31st of March year end, and just seeing how well we progress towards it. It's something that chief executives need to see because they need to have their performance assessed by those who've appointed them. And so the whole budget process tends to work around that. So maybe not one that would be easy to implement in the public sector. Now, the traditional type of budget we use, we would describe as a fixed budget, where what I mean by a fixed budget is that we have one budget for the year. One budget that says this is what our level of income is going to be from whatever source we receive it, whether it be from central government, from the Treasury directly. But we have one source of income and this is what our expenses are going to be, and we have one level of expenses. An alternative to that would be to have flexible budgets. So instead of just having one budget for the year, we might have three budgets. So we might have a best case budget and a worst case budget and a sort of expected budget level. Now, that's quite useful if circumstances change. Certainly, for example, if we were setting up a new service in the public sector, a new department, it may be that our initial budgeting would be on a flexible basis. In the private sector, for example, if you're setting up a new business, that's exactly how you would use your first year's budget. The problem with having flexible budgets, though, is the certainty that we lose because we don't know as an organisation which target we're aiming for. If we have a budget that's slightly easier and a budget that's slightly harder, then the temptation is perhaps when things aren't going well just to sort of relax and rely on the easier budget. So again, a bit like the rolling budgets, the idea of a flexible budget isn't one that's very commonly used in practice. The other thing that we might have is we might have a flexed budget. Slightly different term there. Last time I was talking about a flexible budget, a bendy budget if you like. Now I'm talking about a flexed budget. A flexed budget is quite a traditional idea. Certainly when you completed your accountancy studies, you would have looked at flexed budgets. And it's the idea that you have a budget that's perhaps based on providing a certain number of services. And If you then provide a lower or higher number of services, the budget can be changed to reflect that. So, for example, in a hospital, if you'd budgeted to treat 95,000 patients, and in fact, the number of patients walking through your door, let's say it was something, I don't know, like flu vaccination, because there was a bit of an epidemic, you had 150,000 people walking through your door, then the costs relating to the initial budget would be completely out of scale with the level of service that you were providing. So the idea is that you change your budget, you flex it. Instead of your budget being based on the 95,000 vaccinations that you're originally thinking, you base it on the 150,000 that you've actually got. And you can then make a more valid comparison of actual expenditure to budgeted expenditure. If you stick with the budget based on 95,000 vaccinations, then every single month you're going to get adverse variances. So that's just a more sensible approach when there are large changes in the level of service that you're providing. And of course, it could work the other way around where your service reduces. If you decided to produce less services, then of course you would expect the cost to go down. And so you can flex the budget downwards. The last idea using budgets to help control costs might be to use a zero-based budgeting approach. Now, zero-based budgeting approach is an interesting idea, particularly in times of cost restraint, which we have across the public sector. A zero-based budget builds costs from the bottom up. So let's say, for example, we were providing a public service and we're running a building where members of the public come and see us. It could be all sorts of different things. It could be a passport office. It could be a local authority. It could be a police station. And that building will have its own budgets. And let's say one of those costs within that building budget will be the cost of running the reception. So what we might do in a zero-based budgeting approach is look at the different ways that we could run the reception. So we might, for example, say, okay, we could run the reception without any receptionists. We could run the reception where people simply walked in and they picked up a phone and they rang the department they wanted to see, and somebody came down from that department, from finance or whichever department it was, and came and saw them, or planning or whatever department it might be. Okay, so that's the basic level of service. And then we might say, well, okay, we could then upgrade that a little bit and provide a slightly better service, maybe with one receptionist there to greet people and actually provide a human face to meet them in the reception area. And we could cost out how much that sort of package of service would cost. And then we might be able to upgrade the reception even further and have two receptionists, and so on. So what we do with a zero-based budgeting approach is we build what we call different cost packages. And then when the level of money we have available to spend is communicated to us, we then know which level of service we are able to provide, which level of service will work for us. And of course, we won't just be looking at the reception in isolation. We'll be looking at all the other bits of running the building and how they integrate together and how those different packages, some are more important than others. So for example, it might be more important to provide photocopying services than to have a reception. So we may decide that the first bit of money we spend is on photocopying. The second bit is on having a very basic reception. The third bit is on having an actual receptionist. And we build up, if you like, a wish list under zero-based budgeting of things that we would like. And the top of our wish list might be that we need to spend 5 million on our reception and building together. And the bottom of our wish list might be that, you know, we just can't run the building at all on any less than 1 million. And if we're then allocated 3 million in our settlement, then we know exactly which services we'll provide. We're not running around at the last minute cutting things without any long-term view of how that will impact on the service that we provide. So zero-based budgeting, as you can probably tell from the long-winded explanation there, and I have tried to simplify it as much as I can, but as you can tell, it's quite an involved and time-consuming process to set it up in the first place, because what you're doing is you're looking from scratch at all the different types of costs that you could incur and all the different options. But once you've set that up, that provides a template year on year that you can work with when you have different amounts of money being awarded to your organization. And you can see exactly in advance what you need to cut if the budget is reduced. Okay, there's some ideas using traditional budgets, some ideas that you can use to help control costs. As I said to start with, the normal way of doing it is to use your periodic budgets and to keep the increments to a minimum or even reduce them year on year. But there are other ways. There are other budgeting ideas you can use. Okay, thank you very much for listening. That's all I've got to say for now. We are continuing this series of podcasts by looking at some other techniques around cost management and cost control. My name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.